So let's get into the Word. I'm going to read two verses from Paul, and then we're going to look at a longer passage of Scripture from the Old Testament that's going to give us a great example of what Paul's talking about. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin. We'll put it on the screen for you. This is just two verses, beginning in verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Paul here refers to the spirit of faith. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, a longer passage from the life of David. And we're going to look at this passage because what Paul quotes here is, when he says, I believed and so I spoke, is Psalm 116, written most likely by David, who is the one who gave inspiration for Paul in this moment. And so we're going to look at a story from Scripture that is probably one of the most popular stories in all of the Bible. Even people who didn't grow up in church know the metaphor of David and Goliath. Who loves the David and Goliath story? I know I do. But before we read that, we're going to look at the climax of the story. But I'll give you a little bit of background. So King Saul is the first king of Israel, but he had recently disobeyed God by keeping the best of the spoils of some of his war efforts, taking out the Amalekites. But God told him to destroy it all. But he kept the best and the men kept the best. But he did so because he was afraid of what his soldiers would think of him. He feared man. And so God was not pleased. God actually said, well, I'm sorry that I've made Saul king. And he tells Samuel, the prophet, to go and anoint a new king, which just happened to be King David. He was the youngest of eight brothers, the most unsuspecting in the family to be anointed king. And there's this great passage where it says, when he was anointed king, the Spirit of God rushed upon him. But then in the very next verse, it says about Saul, who was king at the time, that the Spirit of God departed from him. And so he began to be tormented by this spirit that was tormenting him. And so you've got this kind of secret reality that King David had been anointed king, but Saul is still king, and David's coming to minister and play the harp for the new king. Saul goes out to battle. Notice he's going out still as king, but doesn't have the Holy Spirit empowering him now. He goes out to battle, and the scene is you've got all of the people of Israel on one side of a valley, the Philistines on another side of the valley, and nobody's attacking anyone. They're just waiting for the other. Because whoever attacked first was at a strategic disadvantage because you've got the elevated position, right? So everybody's just waiting. And then this guy, the Philistines decide to send out their champion, Goliath, who begins to taunt the army. This big giant, he was their most fierce warrior. And everyone was afraid of him. And it's interesting because warfare at that time was not just about geopolitical advance. There was a spiritual dynamic going on. It was whose God is more powerful. And so you've got Goliath, who's for 40 days is taunting God's people, and everyone's hearing it, and no one has the courage, the boldness to do anything about it. But then there's this one man who comes into the scene, King David, who was sent by his father to take food to the three eldest brothers who were fighting in Saul's army. And David comes up and he begins to hear the taunting of the giant. And there's a different response in him. And so we're going to look at and pick up in the story there and see what his response is. 1 Samuel 17, we'll put it on the screen. Follow along. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, well, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. You remember we were talking about the faithfulness of God before? And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And he arose against me, and I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And Saul clothed David. He tries to give him his armor. He can't. It's not really fitting so well. Skipping ahead to verse 40, he takes his staff in his hand, chooses five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. He's looking at the outward. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, here comes the taunting, the attempts at intimidation. Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the Lord, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. It's a spirit of faith. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. He didn't run slowly. He ran quickly. And David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. So the story ends with the army of Israel running down the Philistines and achieving a great victory that day, all because of one man with a spirit of faith. That's what we're going to talk about today, the spirit of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, you are here to impart to us today a spirit of faith. And Lord, I ask that as we hear you speak, Lord, I thank you that it's not just me speaking. Holy Spirit, you are here. You are the teacher. And Lord, we invite you. Lord, we consider your presence. You're here right now to speak. And I pray that you would take the words of my mouth as your word comes forth. Would you make it real, practical, personal? Let the rhema word come. Your word says faith comes by hearing. And so what I'm asking today, that faith would be imparted by your Holy Spirit today. Lord, wherever we have had a limited mindset, where we have not believed you for what we should, would you show us what that is? Impart faith in that area and show us what it means to operate in a spirit of faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. The most decorated U.S. Marine Corps soldier, one of the most, was a man named General Lewis Puller. He's better known by his nickname, Chesty Puller. We have a photo for you up here on the screen.
This is Chesty.
Chesty Puller. He got this name not only because of his boldness and bravery, but because he had a big puffy chest. He like walked around like this, you know. And stories of his bravery are still told in military academies in the United States, and especially amongst the Marine Corps. And one of the more legendary stories they tell about Chesty is in the Korean War, when he was taking some of his men. They were advancing against an enemy position, but they were having a hard time locating where the enemy was. And Chesty, who didn't really know much about, he didn't really have much of a mindset of retreat. He was pretty assertive and aggressive. They just keep pushing through. And they make what generally is considered to be a massive error in warfare, where you advance beyond the front and you find yourself completely cut off and surrounded on every side by the enemy. Right? That's a very terrible place to be in battle, right? So there's this moment where Chesty and his men realized that they've advanced too far. They're completely cut off. And so Chesty gets on the radio and he radios back to headquarters and he sends this message. He says, the enemy is in front of us and the enemy is behind us. They have flanked us. They are on our left and they are on our right. They won't escape us this time. And so his men went on to win the battle that day. But it's a pretty good picture for us of, even in the natural, what is the spirit of faith? Even amidst a seemingly impossible situation, completely cut off, he has no frame of reference in his mind for defeat. The only possible outcome is victory, success. And there was a confidence, a certainty, that before it was actually realized, it was audible. You could hear it. And this is, of course, what we see in David, the spirit of faith. And it dawned on me as I was meditating on this passage this week that we are living in a spiritual atmosphere that's not unlike what David experienced in his day. There was a culture of compromise in his day amongst the ranks of God's people. It was embodied in the leadership who feared man. It feels like we have political leaders today, and even maybe some leaders in some churches that seem to fear man more than they fear God. It's like you see, you know, I hear clips of politicians who are saying one thing 10, 15 years ago and saying a completely different thing today because they just want to please whoever is, you know, can keep them in office. No principle, just compromise. There were demonic powers that were exalting themselves against God and against his people. And certainly we can see that today. There are demonic strongholds, doctrines that seem so overtly just foolish, that are being proclaimed and believed as truth. You've got God's people cowering in intimidation, not really advancing. They were uncertain of the victory that was theirs. They were paralyzed by a lack of faith. And, you know, we're really living in a post-Christian world where the enemy has advanced against the church and against the kingdom, in at least in Western culture, because the church has really just been pretty silent, at least when it comes to things that, the faith has become private. It's just in my own internal life, rather than being something that has influence in the world around us. But I think what's encouraging for us is to know that just like in David's day, God desires for a people to rise up with a spirit of faith and to turn things around. A spirit of faith is not just crucial for the Big C Church and for the the big picture advance of God's kingdom, but it's crucial just for our own emotional strength and well-being in our lives. Maybe you've recently found yourselves battling a bit of fear. I know, you know, Livs was talking about this week of like just needing to take some time and just, I need to just confess the word. I'm feeling something that's this kind of fear that's coming on me. I need to just take some time and just begin to declare God's word over my life and over my situation. Maybe you look at the world around us and you start to imagine what might the world look like in 5 years and 10 years. And you can go to a pretty dark place without a spirit of faith. Next thing you know, you're like retreating somewhere and completely cutting yourself off, you know, crawling into a cave. That's the default mode, right? In fact, when you look just a few chapters before in 1 Samuel, that's what God's people were doing. They were hiding in caves. They were afraid of the Philistines. Maybe life circumstances have been harder lately. I've found that it's often in moments just before breakthrough when I can feel the most intimidated and I feel the most like giving up. Maybe there's been some sickness. Maybe there's a family challenge. Maybe there's a family situation or financial pressure or something in life. Maybe you're just feeling discouraged because of work or whatever. Or maybe it's just unexplainable. You just feel this weight. We have to have a spirit of faith. Because without a spirit of faith, we end up typically just throwing in the towel. It's just too hard. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at, regarding the spirit of faith, three things. We're going to talk, number one, about what is it? What is a spirit of faith? Second, assuming we want it, how do you get it? How do you get a spirit of faith? And then third, because Paul says, we hear, therefore we speak, what does the spirit of faith sound like? What's it sound like? And so what is a spirit of faith? When Paul uses this word spirit, he's not talking about a spiritual entity. He's not talking about a demon. He's not talking even about the Holy Spirit. It's sort of like, you ever use this term, like, you know, if you've been on a sports team, you talk about team spirit. You know, it's like an attitude, a mindset. And so the spirit of faith is the attitude or mindset that sees God's greatness and his promises over our circumstances, especially when those circumstances do not align with God's will. It's like this mindset that interprets what we experience and filters it through. It's filtered through that and out comes something, a particular way of processing information. It's the lens through which we maybe see our circumstances and respond. And so when something happens in our lives that's contrary to God's will, how do we respond? What's bigger in that moment? What's bigger in our mind? What's bigger in our emotions? Is it the problem that we face, the circumstance, or is it the view of who God is and the view of his promise? And so when we look at the story of David and Goliath, we can see that both David and Saul were looking and hearing the exact same thing. Saul heard the taunting of the giant and had a particular response. David comes on the scene. He hears the taunting of the giant and he has a completely different response. Saul focused on the size of the giant and his skill. What did David focus on? He focused on who God was and what the covenant promise for God's people was that dictated what they should expect. Saul focused on what was seen. David focused on something invisible, what was unseen. And interestingly, Paul elaborates on this just a few chapters earlier in 1 Corinthians when he says to be of good courage always. Why? Because we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And so Paul's saying we cannot live in this life filtering information through just what we see. There has to be something else that we see in the unseen realm. This is why David ran to the battle line to fight Goliath. He didn't walk, he ran. Because there was a certainty in him. We got to have a spirit of faith. What do you do when you look at the darkness of culture around you? Do you grow fearful and shrink back? Or do you feel compelled to grow more vocal? When you hear about even just the unsustainability of the decisions financially that governments and our government is making, what are your thoughts for the future? Is it fear or is it certainty and confidence? I'm reminded of Isaac. There's this great passage that gives us great hope for that we live in this economic system outside of the world's economic system. Because Isaac, in a year of drought, it says he sowed in the land, and in the same year he reaped 100-fold. He had a great harvest even when there was drought. Everybody else is struggling, but Isaac, who had a covenant with God, is prospering. What about when you get bad news at work? What if you're battling an enemy in your marriage or in your family situation? What if someone you love or even yourself gets a discouraging diagnosis from a doctor? What is the first immediate response? We need and must have a spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is what causes us to respond in a completely different way than other people in the world. When somebody says to you, man, how are you not emotionally falling apart right now because all the things going on in your life? The answer to the question is it's the spirit of faith. Because you are living according to something that's beyond the natural. And so are we all in agreement that we could all use a spirit of faith? Yes. So how do we get it? Well, there's actually a few verses just before Paul mentions the spirit of faith that shed some light on this. The first one, I'll just be honest, it's not all that exciting to talk about. It's found in 2 Corinthians 4. The spirit of faith is actually triggered by our difficulties. Paul says, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. God develops a spirit of faith through us, in us, through our difficulties. So in other words, he will sometimes allow us to experience things that seem so bleak. Like Paul has this moment, he says at another time, where he despaired even of life. He thought he was going to die. But yet he knew it was that produced something in him. And so we cannot grow in a spirit of faith if we're always just chasing comfort. And it's helpful to recognize and realize that sometimes God wants to use the difficulties that we face to trigger in us from this point of desperation a spirit of faith. This is how David grew. I mean, he talks about some of the difficulties that he faced, right? What was his difficulties? He was looking after the sheep, and he had to fight off lions and bears. All right, so he was proven, God proved himself to him, which gave him confidence to take out the giant. Why? Because he had supernatural power to take out lions and bears. And so difficulties provoke us to meditate on the word. They bring us to this point of realization that if I don't have God in this situation, then I am completely done. When I think back about my life and key things that I have faith to believe for now, like, for example, if it comes to a financial need and something that I need to trust God and believe God for, do you know where that faith came from? It comes back to these moments of complete, total brokenness and desperation before God. Of being like, God, I am so desperately in need of your help, to the point of sometimes just being so broken, crying with my head in my wife's lap, like just broken. And in those moments of desperation, those moments of what would feel like despair, there is something God's producing in me. He's triggering something in me that my response is bringing about a spirit of faith. The spirit of faith also begins with a decision to believe. We have a decision that we have to make. Are we going to believe or are we not going to believe? The writer of Hebrews here says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. The inference here is that if we shrink back, then we are going to have something that we're going to not have something that we could have. But we are not of those who shrink back. We are going to believe and then find the deliverance that we need. One of the great lessons that I heard early, one of the great truths I heard early in my Christian life, I'll never forget it. This guy was teaching on faith, and he said, let me just make this real simple for you. The faithfulness of God plus your faith equals fulfillment of the promise. And so, do we ever have to question the faithfulness of God? No, he's always faithful. The only thing that ever is in question is our faith, our choice. Are we going to choose to believe? In that, then we see the faithfulness or the fulfillment of the promise. I love this story of Jairus, who is the man who comes up to Jesus when Jesus is just standing there. Not really. He was just sort of hanging out with some people on the shore of the sea. And Jairus comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, my daughter is sick. You're going to come lay your hands on her and she's going to be healed. And Jesus says, okay, let's go. So he starts walking with Jairus, leads a crowd of need, all these needy people walk into Jairus' house. And maybe you've seen the Chosen episode. You've got on the way to Jairus' house, this woman with the issue of blood. She's been bleeding for a decade. She comes and she touches the hem of his garment. She's healed. Jesus feels power leave him. And it's this powerful moment. They keep walking to Jairus' house. And on the way there, there is someone from Jairus' house who comes and says, Jairus, don't bother Jesus any longer. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. She's dead. That's some pretty devastating news. So Jairus, it would seem from Jesus' response, has a choice to make. Jesus says, he turns to Jairus and he says, Jairus, don't be afraid. Keep believing. So he's calling out of Jairus a response of faith. He's needing Jairus to make a decision. He's basically saying, Jairus, your faith got me from the beach to here. But I need your faith to get me from here to your house in light of this news. And I love that Jesus gives him that word of encouragement. Don't be afraid. Keep believing. And we have to hear that in the moment of difficulty and the challenge. We have to hear Jesus say, don't be afraid, keep believing. Jairus had a choice. Had he chosen to not believe, his daughter would have stayed dead. But evidently, he keeps walking. He says, okay, let's go. And Jesus goes in to the house, raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Spirit of faith. As I said, there is so often the temptation to give up just before there's breakthrough. I feel it. I've felt it often in my life. And there are times that I have given up. But one of the things that I've seen over and over and again is if I will just keep pushing just a little bit more, if I'll keep pushing, God will come through and do something supernatural. And so whenever you're feeling the most defeated, whatever you're feeling, whatever things that seem most bleak, the most important thing is to choose to keep believing. And then the spirit of faith grows through our declaration. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. This Hebrew word meditate means to mutter or to declare. And so Hebrew meditation is not emptying your mind like Eastern meditation. It's filling your mind and releasing what's filling your mind out of your mouth. Have you ever caught yourself like talking to yourself? Anybody ever been there? Like, oh yeah, I hope these guys driving next to me didn't just see. Oh yeah, I'm just on the phone. I'm just talking on the phone. It's all good. I know I shouldn't be holding my phone, but it's better than you thinking I'm talking to myself, right? It's that's meditation. We're so deep in thought that I'm just speaking. And so we're instructed in Scripture. This is how faith comes. Romans 10:7. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. How do we most hear the word? Well, we come on a Sunday and we can be fed the word. But you know what's even more powerful than that is, in addition to that, every morning of the week, having the word in your lap, meditating on it, and then beginning to speak over your life the truth of God's word. Telling yourself who you are because of who Christ is. Speaking to your circumstances, your situations in your life that are contrary to God's will. And as you're speaking the word, declaring God's truth, faith comes because you're hearing it. Why was David so full of faith? Because he had been out watching his sheep. We see all of his meditations in the Psalms. He's out before he ever takes out Goliath, he's meditating on who God is, declaring, singing, declaring who his God is. And so this leads us to a very natural third question. What does the spirit of faith sound like? I think we might even come back next week and we might go deeper on this, you know, just the power of our confession and our words. Because Paul says there's something about our words connected to the spirit of faith. He says, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. Wherever there is a spirit of faith, there will be a bold declaration of what is about to happen, what God is about to do. We know exactly the condition of our hearts, whether there's faith or unbelief, based upon the words that come out of our mouths. And so, two confessions for us that are critically aligned with the spirit of faith. Number one, God has been faithful to me in the past, so I refuse to back down now. This is exactly what we see in the passage. I have struck down the lion and the bear, and so this uncircumcised Philistine shall be just like one of them. I've been here before. I've been in this exact situation. That giant is no different than what I faced. The same spirit is upon me now in this situation that was upon me in the past. And so he says, the Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. That's the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith is looking back at past circumstances where God has been faithful, where he's come through, and he's drawing strength from that. And this is why our perspective and our gratitude is so important. Practicing, giving thanks to God regularly, remembering all of his good works. Remembering, why can I pray and ask God for financial provision? Because I can, in my prayer, I can point to a dozen other times where God has supernaturally come through. Why can I pray for someone, lay hands upon them and expect healing? Because I've seen God heal before. Sometimes there's a temptation, I think, to sort of, because we don't like discomfort. I mean, there's a part of us that's drawn towards comfort, right? We don't like discomfort. And so it's very easy for us to subtly make a bit of a deal with the devil. It's like, all right, I'll just relax a little bit. I won't advance too hard. Things are getting, whoa, I tried this and this sort of attack came. All right, sorry, sorry, devil, I'll back off. Now, we would never say that, but sometimes it's subtle. And when we have this resistance to forget all the things that God's already done for us in the past, this feels like too strong of a battle. So, all right, I'll just lay off a little bit. But that is the absolute worst possible thing to do. That is the very thing that gives the enemy ground in our life, because he will not stop there. There is no deal with the devil. It's, okay, well, if I'm not going to advance, there's only one other way to be moving, and that's moving backwards. The second confession of the spirit of faith is God is leading me in certain victory. David, so confidently, boldly. Remember, the spirit of faith speaks before it acts. He declares. It's like he releases something into just the invisible realm, where he tells Goliath exactly what he's going to do before he does it. And he does exactly what he says he's going to do. And God does exactly what he says God is going to do. And the outcome David said was going to happen is exactly what happened. But the declaration came first. And so we see this all throughout Scripture, this exhortation to live from a place of the expectation of God's, the fulfillment of God's promise. 2 Corinthians 2, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Another great passage, Proverbs 24. For the righteous falls seven times and rises again. The wicked stumble in times of calamity. And so the spirit of faith, it doesn't matter how many times we feel knocked down, feel defeated, we keep moving forward. I want to finish with a story that I think really kind of illustrates this. It's another story from just a practical response from a man who faced difficulty, but it gives us a little picture of what's also going on in the spirit realm. The Kiwi adventurer, Sir Edmund Hillary, he had the great ambition to be the first person to ever make it to the top of Mount Everest. And so prior to the 1950s, nobody had ever made it to the top of Mount Everest. Never been done. Now it's pretty commonplace for people to make it to the top. Also seems from the photos common for people not to make it to the top. There was even one mountain climber. There was a special on Netflix. There was a guy who climbed all 14 of the world's tallest peaks and did it in like 7 months. Crazy. But back in the 50s, the thought of climbing Mount Everest was a completely daunting, seemingly impossible task. And this guy, Edmund Hillary, had tried multiple times and had failed. And so he was holding a banquet for one of his with his benefactors. These were the people that were helping him financially to attempt to climb Everest. And he's given this speech. He's talking about his experience. He's trying to build some hope in the people that, hey, we can do this. And there's this moment where he went off script. And they had this big mural up behind him, you know, of Mount Everest. And he just stops. He turns around and he starts speaking to the mural behind him. He starts speaking to Mount Everest. We can see a photo of Sir Edmund Hillary here. That's his Sherpa. He turns around. He looks at the mountain on the mural behind him. And he says, Mount Everest, you beat me once, you might beat me again, but I will defeat you because you can't get any bigger and I can. I love just the picture of what that speaks to us as God's people in the spirit realm. Jesus spoke about mountains that are often in the way in our lives. Things that are contrary to the will of God. And what does he say? If you will speak to the mountain, what will happen? It'll be moved, taken up, cast in the sea. And if you do not doubt that what you say is going to happen, it will be given to you. I love that confession. Whatever the mountain is, you can't get any bigger, but I can. As I'm meditating upon the word, as I'm growing that spirit of faith upon me, I'm getting bigger. I'm getting bigger, getting bigger. In fact, the greater one is living on the inside of me. I love, what was it? Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. That's the spirit of faith. So as the worship team comes back up, I'd love for us to respond to this message. David in the scripture is first and foremost the type of our great champion, Jesus. He went against Goliath. He defeated our spiritual enemy once and for all. Whatever enemy is in our lives, Jesus defeated that spiritual enemy on the cross. Paul says he made a public spectacle of the enemy. He triumphed over him on the cross. Our victory is already certain. But he calls us, and we're probably a really great, the people of Israel, probably a really great type for us of when we see the victory of our champion, of King Jesus, we are provoked. We are reminded of what's possible. We are empowered by him to push back the enemy that's in our lives. Exactly like the people of Israel did on that day, chasing down the Philistines. And so I believe there is a divine moment for here for us as God's people to grow in a spirit of faith. Everybody's at a different place in their life and what they're battling, what they're working through. But we're going to have a moment here of worship, and we're going to respond to this. And I just feel there's some specific needs that we might have today. We've talked about many different things. It could be your marriage, someone else's marriage, your children, someone else's children. It could be a financial situation. It could be faith for healing, could be health related. It could be repetitive temptation you battle in some area of your life. Whatever the opposition is, there's a spirit of faith that God wants to impart to us.